This is my water. Your water. This is on this now?
Yes, we're on live.
Do you want this mic or that mic?
Hello, hello.
Quit taking all my stuff. Good.
Thank you, Dominion Voting, for coming and joining the Pilot Election Review Committee and making a presentation about your pilot experience at Denver Elections and Mesa County. Yes?
Yes.
Okay, so the floor is yours.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. My name is Waldeep Singh. I am the Executive Vice President of Sales for Dominion Voting. I'd like to thank PERC Committee, Secretary Williams, his staff, the counties, and Mesa County and Denver for being our partners in the pilot election process. My time is going to be very brief here. Certainly, I'm on the sales side, so I won't bore you with the regular sales stuff. So with me, I have a number of individuals. I have Mike Frontera, who is our Executive Vice President of Operations and Support Services. He also doubles as our General Counsel. I have Stephen Bennett, who is our regional sales manager for the state of Colorado. I have Dr. Eric Coomer, who is our director of product development. He also is the chief architect of our ImageCast solution that you see in front of us and that we piloted. I also have Janice Matthews. She's our customer relations manager for the state of Colorado. So this team has been heavily involved in this process for a number of years, and more so in the past 6 to 7 months. There'll be some common themes. Certainly Mike will go through our implementation plan. Stephen will tell you about our experiences in the pilot counties and certainly how we got here with respect to working with counties and feedback. So you'll see some constant themes throughout our presentation that you'll probably see from other vendors and throughout the day about scalability and total cost of ownership and how we can achieve some efficiencies. From our perspective, the biggest thing that you will hear from us is partnership. We can't do this alone. We didn't do it alone. We did it with a lot of feedback and a lot of meetings with a lot of people in this state and across the country. So you'll see that theme spread across our presentation. With that said, I will turn it over to Stephen, and Stephen will talk about our pilot and our experiences.
Well, good morning, Mr. Secretary, members of the committee, staff, county clerks, members of the public that are here today. It's a great pleasure to be in front of you today and reviewing what's gone on over the last 7 years. I joked earlier with some of the clerks that this could be the last time that I need to be up in front and selling and pitching our stuff. I'm a little excited about it, a little sad about it. I love what I do. Over the last 7 years, we've traveled throughout the state. This process didn't start last year. It started many years ago. We went and visited you. We visited at the conferences, at the regional meetings, and in the offices. And we've asked questions as we demonstrated our technologies. And over those years, we got feedback. We received feedback to better understand what it is that the county clerks need to run elections. And more importantly, what about the voters? What are the voters of Colorado needed to improve that process and to enjoy the process of voting? Through that, we understood that we needed to simplify and innovate. And that's what we did. Because at Dominion, we believe that putting our customers first and listening to our customers inspires great relationships that are built on trust and bonded by loyalty. And together, We can build voting solutions, and we did build a voting solutions together that meets the needs of Colorado. This system is scalable. It's scalable because it can meet both the financial and the functional needs of each and every county, whether small, medium, or large. The system is flexible. It's able to adapt. We can adapt this to the technology that is currently in the marketplace by leveraging that technology. It's adaptable to legislative changes. It's adaptable to the trends that are coming in the election process. The system is efficient. With efficiencies, what we were able to do is reduce the cost of running elections, reduce the cost of ownership of an election system. It's about a quarter of the cost of what we spent in the past with HAVA dollars that we're looking at moving forward. And with the efficiencies, what we try to use is the software to allow our individual staff members in a county to be able to do more from one seat with less energy and spending less money to produce that election. The system is also easy to use or simple. One of the common comments made during the process of the pilots from poll workers, from the judges, from the county clerks, and from the staff is this is just so easy to do. So allowing ease of use made it easier for training, easier to deployment. Sustainable. Sustainable is a big part of what everybody across the country was looking for in a voting solution, because sustainability protects the investment that the counties put into their voting systems. Sustainability by using fully off-the-shelf technology, moving away from the proprietary boxes of the past, we now can focus on the software, and as technology changes, we just can move from platform to platform, continuing using the technology that we built, the software that was built to run the elections. So if a tablet from Samsung is end of life, we can move to the next tablet and the next tablet and the next printer or the next scanner, because we do know that the technology does end of life, some 3 months, some 6 months, some a year, some 2 years. But now we know we have a platform that we can continue to use. That means that we don't need to relearn, re-educate on a new system. Same software, same solution. So let's talk a little bit about the pilots. We piloted with two counties, and we'll start off with Denver. So the Denver process was a long process. Going back 4 years, we talked with Amber McReynolds about what do we do moving forward. And one of the key points with Amber was that she did not want to have a warehouse full of boxes, machines that we use once or twice a year. She wanted to find a better way for saving time and space. She told me that she'd spend more money on software if we'd stay software-based than building a box. And over 4 years, we've refined that idea. And a year ago, we finalized the plan, moving forward with a fine-tooth plan that allowed us to develop a fully functional off-the-shelf ballot marking device that meets the needs of our VSPCs. And we drove that process by looking at not just what Denver needed, but what the state of Colorado needed, what the small counties needed. It had to be easy. It had to be low cost. It had to be efficient. It had to be driven through one single database. And that's what we were able to accomplish. During this process of efficiencies, one of the things that we focused on through testing, and as you know, we ran the May and the June runoff for the municipal election in Denver. And through that process, we learned more about the system. Things that we tried to build into it and the efficiencies, we turned it into reality. And that reality was Denver saved 70% in labor cost and the cost overall of tabulating their election. I will also say, and on the joking side, this is the only system that received the Amber McReynolds stamp of approval. And you know how difficult that is. All right, so we moved on to Mesa. And what you see in the pictures from Mesa are a lot of smiling faces, because we took the large county model and scaled it down to a smaller county. So about a quarter of the size of Denver, Mesa was able to deploy this system, train poll workers, train their own selves in a 3-day period of learning about laying out a ballot. Amanda was able to lay out her own demo election and show the public how the system works. They ran the system. We didn't have to run it for them. Now, over the period of the election, that using 3 VSPCs, what Sheila Reiner, the county clerk in Mesa, found was that they saved 40% in the cost of running the tabulation room. So where 99% of the ballots were, or 100% of the ballots in the central tabulation process went through that room, the process as a whole, while they reorganized their offices, were able to save that money. So when we talk about the cost savings or the lower cost of ownership, as you can tell from our financials that we, or the cost structure sheets that we presented to you, the cost of ownership is going to be considerably lower. But the other cost is the savings in actually running your elections. So let's go over what we've created. And this is a little overview here. It talks about first Democracy Suite. Democracy Suite is our election management system. One single database that will drive everything in the of the voting channels through the election process. So Democracy Suite, that one single database created, will allow us to set up and run all of the parts of an election here in Colorado. We start off with one module, Election Event Designer, which is able to import data from the SCORE program, lay out your ballots, go to larger ballots here, a couple examples of the ballots, the layout and the process of how we can do this, giving the flexibility to any size county to lay out their ballot, have it look how they want to run that their election. The ballot length from 8.5 to 22 inches allows a lot of flexibility depending on the size of the election. So I can have 8.5 by 14, to 11, to 14, to 16, 17, 18, 22-inch length of a ballot. The Election Event Designer allows us to prepare the election files for the central tabulation, for the precinct ImageCast X, the VSPC solution, as well as our ImageCast Remote, which is our UOCAVA application. Results tally reporting, very simple. Being able to bring all the data in to the database, be able to review it, and then publish the data. Very simple. So the system in the module sense allows us to implement in a larger county or a county that chooses to do their own coding of their election as opposed to having a vendor support and having us assist them in their ballot layout process. If you are utilizing the whole system, you'd use both ends. If not, then the county would only use the results tally and reporting. Moving forward, we have two core technologies that are essential to our system and that have patents because they're that significant to our system. The first is the Dole threshold. We want to assure that we are able to understand the voter's intent in our system. So by having a lower threshold and a higher threshold, the system can show a comfort zone of where that mark lies on that ballot as far as a percent of fill. Our goal is that we want the voter, the onus on the voter, to make sure that they fully mark their intent. And we know that by doing it at mail, that we're not always going to get that. So we are able to go through the process and be able to look at those ballots that are in question. And we'll get to that in a second. The second technology, and one of the most important, is our audit mark. We created an audit mark so that every single ballot in the Dominion election system is imaged, and every single ballot is appended to it in what's called the audit mark. The audit mark, this will show you here the image of the front and the back of the ballot, as well as the information or what the system interpreted from the voter's intent. So it will show you exactly what scanner it was scanned on, what batch number it was, the ballot in that batch, and then each and every race and the selections made so that there is true transparency in the system all in that one single image, a single vote cast record, which leads us down the road to the single, the risk-limiting audits. that are required in 17. Moving forward, our voting channels. Being that this was customized here for Colorado and specific to mail balloting, the most important piece is our ImageCast Central. And our ImageCast Central is using off-the-shelf scanners from Canon. Our partnership with Canon is extremely important. This is a company that builds scanners, and these scanners work all day long. The most consistent and the most reliable product in the marketplace, and our partner, which makes them the Colorado's partner. Canon has service techs throughout every single county. So whether it's a Dominion technician or a Canon technician, we're able to support and repair, fix, assist any county at any time during the election process. Now, the idea behind this is not just using the off-shelf scanners, but to make it simple. We use the legacy products. And the legacy products were all about speed, but they weren't about efficiency. And they aren't about efficiency. What we needed is a way to always run ballots. We needed a simple method to allow an individual, whether we bring in a temp worker to run the election, is to be able to put the ballots in, hit scan, and accept, and continue to move the process. What we added to that was ImageCast adjudication. And this is a revolutionary idea that's changing the marketplace, because we wanted to go end-to-end to running the ballots. So when you run the ballots and you adjudicate ballots, you are finished with those ballots and hopefully never touching that paper again. So adjudication allows you to electronically review any ballot that's been outstacked for whatever reason that the county chooses to outstack ballots. Overvotes, undervotes, write-ins, marginal marks, blank ballots, or specific contests. So I can go through that process, review electronically, and make a selection. And once the adjudication process is finished, the system adds an adjudication audit mark to the audit mark. So now I have how the voter voted front and back of that ballot, how the system interpreted the marks, and then how the county adjudicated that mark. The system is fully logged. And this, it gives us the efficiency to go end-to-end running ballots. Whether you're a small, medium, or large-sized county, whether you're doing 1 million ballots or you're doing 5,000 ballots, it scales. Adding more scanners and adjudication stations. And the strength in the adjudication is that it's not one ballot at a time that we review and we're done. We put it to a first-in, first-out call center, if you will. So you've been into the counties, the pilot counties, and you've seen that in Denver there's 12 adjudication stations where teams can look at ballots and work together to efficiently move through that. The process was easy enough that at the beginning of the phase in the pilot, in the first day, our adjudicators were doing about 90 seconds a ballot. But by the second day, we were down to 45 seconds a ballot. That improvement in just the ease of use and the way that the system was set up is to efficiently move through that process without losing any of the transparency. Now, the second piece here is the ImageCast X. We call it the X because it can be whatever you want it to be. Here in Colorado, it is configured as a ballot marking device. We're using a Samsung 12-inch tablet. It's fully enclosed in a case for security, so it doesn't move. It's in a case that also sits up and is able to be flexible enough for any user that needs to be in front of that. Here demonstrated in front of you is the booth that was created in conjunction with Denver, allowing a fully ADA-compliant system in front of you. So whether you have any special needs or no extra needs and you choose to go to the polling, your VSPCs to vote, you can simply choose to go to a tablet, slide the card that brings up your ballot style, mark your ballot, hit print, it prints a ballot, that ballot goes into the ballot box, and at the end of the night comes back for tally. In Denver, and the municipal, they in November as well, about 1,000 ballots came back because 97% of people are now voting by mail. So we want a low-cost, easy solution in the polling location. Something that doesn't take long to set up, is not difficult to train. And in fact, in Mesa, the poll workers said to me that it's just so easy to do. And another poll worker said, and it just works. Because when you hit print, it prints, because we're using a Canon printer. And that's what they do, is they just print. The system also allows us flexibility. Being that we're using fully off-the-shelf, and I mentioned earlier, I can maneuver, or we can migrate to platform after platform. Even when we look at other platforms from Samsung and or Windows-based products for the future, we have the ability to continue to move and have the system live and maintain and protect your investment. Moving forward. Eric? Is it? Oh, there it is. It is stuck. That's why I got a doctor.
He's a doctor.
Is there a doctor in the house? Now, our optional modules start off with mobile ballot printing. And mobile ballot printing is designed to be a low-cost solution, very flexible, depending on your volume. We know that in the state of Colorado, there's a contract with one of the vendors for a ballot on-demand system. But mobile ballot printing was an idea that give you flexibility on the product. So we have a low-cost solution from Oki Data and this 931, which is the more expensive solution, depending, again, on volume. Because there's a requirement in the state statute that you must provide a ballot if somebody comes to the VSPCs and wants to replace their mail ballot and they want to stay on paper, you could use this solution to print your ballots, if not already using your other solution that's available. So we made mobile ballot printing available to the counties and to the state of Colorado. The next thing is the automatic test deck generator, allowing you to create your test decks from your database. Again, one single database that drives all the voting channels. Election night reporting. Dominion offers election night reporting, and we're offering it to the state as a part of our solution. Election night reporting simply allows you to gather the data from statewide and put it out and do an output in the manner that you so choose. And the ballot audit module, to take a module that sits outside of Democracy Suite to be able to pull the ballot images through this module and to do your risk limiting audits. Back when we designed and we walked through the audit mark, we realized that by using this audit mark, we are able to now look at the ballot images, and we wanted to take the efficiencies that you get from that, because that transparency on that single ballot of how it was marked and how it was handled in the system and how it was adjudicated, we want to be able to review it. If you travel around the country and you look at how ballot auditing is done, the canvas process, and you see as today, or even Tuesday, I was in San Francisco, and they're laying out hundreds of ballots on each table and people reviewing them by paper. The time and the money to use to pull those paper ballots is so high that we can look at a way to reduce, using the efficiency of the system and this audit mark, to bring the ballot images on a computer screen, allowing people to be comfortable to do the process on the screen, looking forward to the risk limiting audits. The one other piece that I think I jumped over and I'm going to catch it right now is we also offer the ImageCast Remote UOCAVA to the state. And that allows us to be able to service our voters that are overseas, allow them to securely obtain their ballot, mark their ballot, print that ballot, and send it back in, and without the counties having to duplicate or modify and rescan the system. When that ballot comes in, it's the same ballot would come off of the tablet, and they'd be able to stick it in the tabulator and hit scan and scan those ballots. So there is reducing the amount of energy through the one use of the UOCAVA, our UOCAVA system, ImageCast Remote. So why Dominion? And now I'm just going to sum it up briefly. One is because if you choose the Dominion, you're going to have a voting solution partner. And that's very important. As Waldeep said, we didn't do this by ourselves. We did this in a partnership with Denver and a partnership with Mesa. And we look forward to partnerships throughout the state with all the counties. That partnership is important because we listen to our customers and we responded to our customers. We take your valuable feedback and we built a voting solution that has the efficiencies, that has the scalability, that looked at the needs of the lower or the smaller counties, the middle-sized counties, and the large counties and delivered. We make it easy. I like to say we give you the easy button. And we know that elections is not easy. But elections, if you can be relaxed and calm and confident in driving your election because the system is easy to use, the system is easy to set up, the system is easy to operate, and there is no extra pieces and parts or other boxes or other noise that interfaces or interferes with our success. And so we have seen easy in the elections here in Colorado. Relaxed and confident on election day. That's so important. And we don't see it very often. But as you can see from these two pictures, I wasn't sure how that was going to scale. And when I get to Mesa and I realize that we did it, you see the picture of Amber. She's relaxed and confident on election day. And some of you know her. It's not always that way. But on election day, this is Amber. And when we did the pilot, there were 105 people that traveled through her office in 10 groups. While she's running an election, she walked all these groups through this process every hour on the hour. And in Mesa, look at Sheila. We traveled around to the counties or to the VSPCs to visit the VSPCs. And in that process was relaxed and calm and confident, as well as Amanda, who learned the system, deployed the system, and operated the system with her staff. We were there for support and support only. So with that, I thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and I'm going to pass it off to Mike Frontera.
Just that. Thanks, Stephen. Good morning, everyone. Stephen did an excellent job talking about our pilot process and the system that was deployed in both Mesa and Denver. What I want to focus on now is what we would do in case of getting the entire state of Colorado, and in particular, based on the documentation that you provided, if we started off with these first 24 counties in 2016. First off is one tremendous advantage that we have for Colorado is Dominion's corporate headquarters is based in Denver. We're right down the street on 18th and Larimer, and our operations team is based in Denver. Our philosophy on implementation is we have an executive sponsor. In the case of the state of Colorado, that would be me. And that sponsor basically is a sponsor on behalf of the customer to the entire company to make sure all of the assets are available and all of the resources are available to deploy the project. We would then have a state project manager who would work with both the SOS as well as the counties. And underneath the state project manager will be direct county project managers in the larger counties and regional project managers across the regions throughout the state of Colorado. Now, this would be the case if we did the 24 counties, if we did 48 counties, if we did 64 counties. This is the methodology that we employ. And in fact, this is the methodology that we employed in several state installs. Dominion has a lot of experience in doing state installations. Specifically, we've done the state of Louisiana, state of New Mexico, state of Utah, state of Nevada, 52 counties in the state of New York. So we have a tremendous amount of experience in deploying large installs across the gamut of larger, medium, and smaller size counties. The slide up now is just an example of what we might do. Anything that we would do would have to be in coordination, obviously, with the SOS office, and most importantly, with the counties that we're deploying in. We couldn't come in and just say, here's how we're doing it, and we're not going to listen to you. That's obviously not how we do implementations. So we would do it in conjunction with the SOS and the counties. But as an example, if we were to do the 24 counties in 2016, the philosophy is that Denver and Mesa are pretty much done. There's some leftover items, if you will, that we want to do in both Denver and Mesa. But from a deployment standpoint, we feel very comfortable that the democracy system is in place in both those counties. For the larger counties, the tier one counties, Jeffco, And we would put Adams in that category as well, and Arapahoe County. We would have county managers specifically for those counties. We just think that that kind of scale requires a little bit more extra attention for deployments. And then for the remaining counties, we would have a regional approach. Again, it doesn't have to be what you see on the screen, but this is an example of what we might do. Regional will be useful primarily in a training standpoint. From a training standpoint, we would want to gain the efficiencies of having the various counties together and the uniformity that that brings across the board, statewide and regionally. The reality is, though, you cannot do everything regionally. You cannot install the system regionally. So we will have our resources in place to do system installation, acceptance testing, to assist with pre-LAT, and for election day support. There's only so much you can do regionally, and you need a company that has enough resources to do this sort of deployment at the same time of supporting all the other customers across the country. And Dominion has that. And Dominion's headquarters, both operationally and corporate, are right here in Denver. I talk about training. The types of training that we would do primarily starts with on-site training. This system, as Stephen described, is simple to use. It truly is. However, we do not believe you can simply do off or online or off-site training for the major training aspects. So for the use of the EMS system, for acceptance tests, for pre-LAT, for poll worker train the trainer, we would be doing those trainings on-site, hands-on, with customers. The picture there is probably too small to see, but that's almost live as of 2 days ago, doing training in the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, where we're currently installing a system, our precinct-based system of 6,000 units there in Puerto Rico. And that's what we do. We do a start off lecture style, break down, and do hands-on training for all other aspects of the system. That can be followed by online training, refreshers, and those types of training, but not for the initial part. Training manuals and documentation are included as part of our offering. They have to be, and they will be provided to the counties and the state. We do have training videos as well, which have been very useful for our customer base. And then I described our trainer classes. That's primarily going to be for poll worker training, for the voting center training. All other training will not be train the trainer. It will be direct training of the people implementing the system. I mentioned installs in other states. And actually, just go back to that slide. And I want to specifically talk about the state of Louisiana briefly, because like Denver, the state of Louisiana has 64 parishes, which is the equivalent to a county in Denver, so very like-size state. And we installed their system, Democracy Suite system, for absentee voting across the state on a regional basis, similar to what we probably would be doing in Colorado. In the case of Louisiana, and something that we've learned and we'd want to bring this efficiency to Colorado, relates to database creation for counties who do not want to do their own election file generation. Some counties do. We know that, you know, Denver and Arapahoe and Jeffco and others will want to do their own EMS database creation. We also know, based on our current experience with Colorado counties, that some counties do not want to do that, and they prefer to have us service them. What we do in Louisiana is we have a bulk import process where we can do all 64 parishes in their case at one time, and we finish their election generation within a week as part of this bulk import process. And I'd encourage you to call down there and talk to those folks about how that works, because we will be utilizing that process. It may not be all 64 counties in Colorado, but it'll be a lot of the counties possibly in Colorado, and we plan on utilizing that paradigm here because it's been so successful for us down there. And the tight turnarounds are going to be very similar across the country. They're all very similar. So I encourage you again to talk to those folks. That's the model that we would want to employ. I would love to go through the entire project plan at this point, but that's a little bit overwhelming for the time that we have. But that would be part of our submission, our proposed project plan. And in reality, it's only going to be proposed. That sort of detail, that sort of partnership with the counties has to be done with the counties directly. We could not do that singularly as a vendor. It just doesn't work that way. What we can do is provide a model, and that's what we're offering to those counties. So with that, I guess we'll take questions after, and happy to answer any questions on implementation or deployment. But with that, I'm going to turn it over. Let me point out one other thing. Before I turn it over, so two of the individuals who were responsible for the pilots in Mesa and Denver are here. Both Eric and Janice were directly involved. Janice took on Mesa and continuing Denver's pilot. Eric did the pilot in May in Denver. In addition to these two individuals, we have about eight other individuals that live and work in Colorado who are directly involved. And then beyond that, we have resources of 200 employees and a number of contractors that we utilize for larger scale deployments like we would be doing in Colorado. So these are, we're not going to be hiring new people and bringing in people who don't know about elections. We're going to be utilizing the same people that have been working on this system for 7 years and have actually deployed the system in this state. So with that, I'm going to turn over to one of those people to talk about the road ahead, I guess, and that is Eric.
Hello, everyone. I want to start out with covering something that Stephen mentioned, but it wasn't really clear. We've been working in the state trying to meet with as many customers as possible and getting ideas, but our first meeting to talk about this system that we developed was just last September. It didn't exist on September 1, and by March 1st, it did exist, and we implemented it. That's a six-month timeline from our initial in-depth discussions with Denver County Elections to implementing the system and running their election. It's a six-month turnaround time. That's pretty much unheard of, certainly in the voting space and even in most technology spaces, right, from ground up to delivery. We've continued to innovate on that same solution. So, I mean, we've gotten a lot of feedback with the pilots that we've done. We've already implemented a lot of the feedback that we've gotten, and we will continue to implement, going forward on a routine basis. So that's all about our innovation there. Okay, how do I go forward? There we go. The ImageCast X is our VSPC solution. It is our ADA solution as well. We've gotten a lot of feedback from use on some of the ADA pieces, and we know that there are some enhancements that needed to be made there. We've already made those enhancements. There were two issues that were basically for use requirements in the pilot. Both of those issues have already been addressed. They're currently in QA, quality assurance and testing, and they will be part of our delivery for certification for implementation for the entire state in January. All right, and those are related to screen privacy for an accessible voter if they want to blank out the screen and only do an audio session, and repeating instructions on a routine basis. So those have been already addressed. There have been a couple other things that we've done as well, because we're continuously getting feedback and trying to roll that into our product and really make it the best product that's available. Other ImageCast X enhancements, there are several. So we know that we needed to make it easier to do styling for things like proposals, referenda. We were able to do that for this current election. It may not have been the easiest solution, but now we have a fully functioning HTML-driven editor for handling all of that kind of thing. So we can handle, with referenda, we can handle tables, when they have financial impact tables, bullet points, all of those things that systems in the past have always stumbled with. We've added those enhancements as well. Results tally and reporting. So again, it's all about the feedback that we've gotten. I know that we've had a fair interest from activists. Results tally and reporting, going back to risk limiting audits, cast vote record reports. We do have a cast vote record export. It may not be the most consumable at this point, but by January 1, we will have a full electronic export of all cast vote records. Not only that, but every cast vote record that we have will be tied to every image in the system, every audit mark in the system, every tabulator that was scanned on, and any adjudications that were done on those records as well. So from beginning to end, we can tie all of those records together on a ballot card by ballot card basis. And that is fundamentally required to do a meaningful risk limiting audit. Some of the other things, our audit mark. Again, that's one of our core technologies. And there was some feedback from one of the activists that the audit mark was not easy to electronically parse. So we have these images. Those images are available through CORA requests from the public. They get those. What do you do with those images? You can tab through them individually, visually. You know, when you're talking about 100, 120,000, 150,000 ballots, it takes a long time. So our audit marks now are using a common OCR, optical character recognition, ABLE font. So if you have those images and you have an OCR reading program, you can actually parse all of that data that we capture and we provide. Again, that's, you know, we're all about transparency, auditability, and all of these enhancements are really going to address all of those things. And again, showing that we're beyond responsive to the feedback that we've gotten. We don't just nod our head and say, yeah, that's a really good idea. We go back and we implement it. Integration with SCORE and WebScore. We already have an integration piece for coding our elections. We can take the output from SCORE. We run it through a little adapter that we've written, and that generates a common import format for our Democracy Suite election management system. So, you know, there's very minimal manual coding of election data. Integration with WebScore in the VSPCs, that's something that doesn't currently exist. It will exist on January 1, or at least the capability to do so, so that when a voter comes in and they get checked in, we can automatically generate our activation cards and or print a ballot with our mobile ballot production system so that the voter can either get a paper ballot or activate the tablet for voting. Audit mark, ballot audit module. I already covered the audit mark, but as Stephen mentioned, we're also diligently working on a ballot audit module. Again, that's more in support of risk limiting audits and audits in general. That's a longer term roadmap kind of item that won't be available in January, even though I wish it was. But that will be something that will be available in the next cycle. And again, we're talking in that 6-month timeline, not 6-year timeline. At this point, we can open it up to questions. We're going to throw it back to you. All right. Well, we can do that after.
I won't show it now.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to take a minute and just demonstrate a couple things that we do have. Again, this is a single system. It's a single database. It drives all of the available voting channels. Right? We have our paper ballots that go out in the mail. They come back. They get scanned. VSPCs. They run the tablets. We can print ballots through our mobile ballot production. Those all come back. They get scanned. Everything's great. We can also, with the same database, run a UOCAVA system. And Denver did use this in all three pilot elections that we've done with them. Mesa did not. They used the current state-level system. And I just wanted to run through that real quickly to give you guys an idea of how it works. And again, the whole idea here is it's a single database. You proof the data once, and you drive all the channels. Not only that is that when the UOCAVA voter securely downloads their ballot, prints it out, and mails it back in, there's no duplication effort needed. It goes through the same scanning process in the central office that all of the other ballots go through, which is not what currently happens with the two different systems being used. So if I'm a UOCAVA voter, I log in, I've got credentials. I get a secure email. I've made up some voter IDs. This allows the voter then to log on. They input their credentials. And actually, I need to generate a PIN. So there's a two-step process here. And again, this is related to security and trying to make the system as secure as possible. So the first is they get an email, they get an ID, or they have an ID. It's generally a driver's license number. But then they have to get a secure PIN. Once they do that, then they can vote. We'll copy that pin. We'll go back to the voting page. We have CAPTCHAs at various places. Everybody's that's been on the internet is familiar with those. Okay. So the first is you're presented with an affidavit of voter saying basically, I swear that I am legally able to cast a UWCAVA ballot. But what I'm going to show you is that at the end of the process, you actually get a hard copy of this affidavit that must be signed and returned with the ballot as well. All right. So I'll go ahead and accept that. And again, you'll see that when I start up the tablet, the interface is almost identical. It's the same information that's presented on the tablet because it's coming from the same data source. It's the same layout. It's actually sharing a lot of the same code base. The code base that's on the tablet that's running that system is the same code base that's running the UWCAVA system. All right. So we'll make some selections here. We'll go through the ballot quickly. I'm going to skip some propositions. I'm going to vote for this. I get to review my ballot. There are the standard warnings if I've undervoted a contest. Those are all statutorily required. And at this point, I can download my ballot. And again, this is the affidavit that the voter needs to fill out and sign, and also the marked ballot that can be scanned once it's returned to the elections office. So if I bring that up, you'll see it's a PDF. Here's Denver's elections affidavit that they gave us. This is just simply dynamically uploaded, so every county, if they have their own affidavit language, all of their own logos, we can load that directly into the system. There's instructions on what to do with this. It's in both English and Spanish because Denver is bilingual. And here's our ballot. So the voter can, depending on the statutes, they can email this entire file back. They can print it out, fax it back. They can print it out and mail it back. And again, this ballot that's up here right now, this is the same exact ballot format that comes out of the tablet system in the VSPCs. And it can be scanned directly in the central office without any duplication efforts. I'm going to turn it over to Waldeep here. Yeah.
So before we get to questions, and we'll have a lot of time for questions, and it's primarily why we're here is to answer the questions that you have. You've certainly seen the system in use and toured the state and talked to customers and things of that nature. I've certainly been, this is my fifth state this week. I was in Michigan, I was in Illinois, I was in California, and demoing this product. And I can tell you that every jurisdiction that I spoke to said that they love what Colorado's one doing, and they loved what we were doing in Colorado. So this system and what you're doing here in Colorado is generating a great deal of buzz across the country and not just isolated to Colorado. A few points just to kind of close and bring some things home. When we talk about scalability, it's really, really important to understand that the smaller jurisdictions shouldn't have to sacrifice transparency, speed, efficiency because of their size. So when we say scalable, the Canon scanner that's sitting in Denver is the same Canon scanner that's sitting in Mesa. And we're not talking about scaling down by giving you a proprietary piece that's scanning different ballots that's on an entirely different platform. Democracy Suite is one platform. It runs any scanner that we have. So we're not talking about scaling a G1130 and giving somebody an ICE unit to scan individually at their location. So when we talk about scale, we're talking about scaling the same platform, the same type of equipment across all counties. So when you look at our pricing proposal, you'll see the G1130 and Canon as our solution. So we don't think the small county should have to sacrifice and do things differently just because of their size. When we talk about transparency, when we talk about the audit mark, that audit mark is patented. It's ours. Nobody else has it, right? When we talk about a single cast vote record, we're talking about a cast vote record from the time the voter casts a ballot all the way through adjudication. There's no difference in that. There's one ballot, there's one cast vote record. Everything that's done on that ballot is recorded. It's on an audit log. Everything from the time a person logs on with their password, we know who logged on, we know what they did, we know how they adjudicated a ballot. So full transparency across the system, irrespective of whether you use that Canon scanner or the G1130 on the back end. So when we talk about transparency, we're all about it. Eric's piece about the UACAVA demonstrates our ability to look beyond the vote center and look beyond just the central count system. UACAVA, mobile ballot printing, all of that is part and parcel to the things that we provide. So when you talk to Denver, don't talk just about the 70% that they saved in their tally room. Look at what they saved across their entire solution. So look at their drayage, look at their warehousing, look at their third-party costs with mobile ballot printing and things like that in UACAVA, and you'll quickly realize that I don't think they had to have a capital expenditure by the time they're done. They'll be able to pay for a lot of this through efficiencies, and that is something that's unheard of in today's environment. So when you look at costs and solutions, please look at everything with respect to whether a printer or a vendor is charging you for ballot stock, because that is all in part and parcel to the solution. So we don't have any of those hidden fees or things like that. So please look at everything when you're looking at a solution, because it's not just about us and our system. It's about the county and what they do as well, because their processes matter just as much as this. So with that said, I will turn it over to any questions that you have. We'll certainly answer as much as we can, and if there's something that we can't answer, we'll certainly come back and get that to you.
Well,
Steve, go ahead.
This is Steve Moreno. Again, you know, I think the question's already been asked that I had asked earlier with the prior vendor about risk-limiting auditing, but I still like to hear a little bit more from the company about your development team, your designers and everything, about the programmers, the years of experience, and a little bit more history about that.
Understood. So I will just briefly set the context about certification, and then I'll hand it over to Eric to speak specifically about development and risk-limiting audits and who's working on it within our shop. When you look at our development path and cycles, we are currently on what we call a 414 code base. And 414 is our base platform, if you will. That system is certified across the country in many, many states. It is the only system certified to 2005 VVSG in California. We're the only one. So that code base is 414. Since then, since the time we started the tablet, we've iterated to a number of different versions of that. So, for example, we're the most active vendor in the certification environment, hands down. We have 414A, 414B, 414C, 414D, 414E. That has all gone through that federal process. Why? Because customers come to us and say, you know what, we'd like your system to do X. We'd like your system to do Y. And so we go back, we iterate, and go through those things. Our next major code release in second quarter of 2016 is what is our 5.0 code base. So we'll migrate from 414 to 5.0, and that's where some of these larger enhancements will come into play. So that will be our next major release. So Eric, do you want to talk specifically about development?
Risk-limiting audits, it's great. I will point out, I believe I'm one of the only vendors that was part of the original risk-limiting audit meeting working group in Washington, D.C. back in 2010. I've been aware of these. I've been working for risk-limiting audits for a long time. I believe in them, and we've designed the system to fully support those in a variety of methods. Because, again, you know, everybody has their little pet way of implementing those. There's lots of different ways of going about it. And what we've really tried to do is provide the data regardless of the implementation. So, again, whatever statute, whatever implementation that Colorado adopts for risk-limiting audits, I can guarantee that our data will be available to support those. As far as development staff, you know, I got to be honest, I'm not sure when the last headcount was done on core developers, but it is somewhere north of 40% of the company are developers. And we're not just developers. I'm not just a developer. I support elections. I was there to implement Denver's pilot back in May. I was there on election night in May. I was there on election night in April. I was in the central office back in the first week of November here supporting all of our customers, right? And all of our developers go out into the field and support elections. So we're not just developers, we're election specialists.
With respect to the code base itself, so the way we operate in terms of, and Mike hit on it a lot, is so we've been getting feedback about risk limiting audits for a very long time. So it isn't something new to us. So whether it's Professor Starks and his models, whether it's sitting down with counties and things like that. So before our 5.0 code release, second quarter of 2016, we will have the majority of the input that that we have. So if selected, one of the things that we do, even post-election, is sit back with the customer and say, okay, here's a module. And this is what we did with Denver in designing the ICX system as well, is here's a module. What do you think? Do you want it to does this make sense? Do you want it blue? Do you want it green? Do you want it yellow? So that will be part of the iteration. It's not like we're going to come back and say, here it is, 5.0, here's risk limiting audits, let me know how it goes. We get that information throughout. So before that code release, we'll have iterations of that to show and to say, give us feedback along the way. So right now, our next major release that will have some components of risk limiting audit will be our 5.0 code release.
Hi, this is Connie Ingmeyer, and I had a couple questions, and you probably already touched on it, but maybe I missed it. On the image cast X votes, will that be available by February? You know, you said there were some enhancements on that.
So. The enhancements to what we know so far in terms of the system and the feedback, that'll be ready by January.
Right.
So based on the timelines that you had in the documentation, we'll meet those timelines with those enhancements.
Okay. The other question I had is, I think Chuck had hit this on the last vendor, but how do you know it's an official ballot? Is there like watermarks or, you know, what do you do on?
I mean, there's a variety of, and again, a lot of that goes back through process and procedures. You know, there are controls in there. We've got these well-documented process procedures. From the ballots themselves, you know, no, we don't specifically do any watermarking currently. We do have technology that goes down actually to the paper itself. We work with a paper mill. It's called Security Paper. That has not been widely implemented at this point, but it is a technology that we have. That requires adding a sensor to the Canon scanners. Again, we have a partnership with Canon. They have already agreed to add that sensor in there, so we have that capability. But there are other things. Again, it's about access control. It's about process control and inventory control of your ballot stock, and knowing that the ballot coming back is the ballot you sent out.
Okay. And I have one other question. How many languages can this address? You know, like
any language you need and as many as you have. So in California, we went through certification with actually a prior version of this, and we had 15 languages. 15 simultaneous languages. I used to be able to name them all, and I've kind of lost that. But you know, Japanese, Korean, Hindi, Bangladeshi, Tagalog, yeah, all the standard ones. So we know we've done 15 because we had to get certified with 15, and we can do more.
I think we're certified. I think we're certified with 414A-1. With 10, but the capability that we demonstrated, I believe, was at 15. So we can scale up on language and ambition with the democracy suite.
Chuck Brewer, El Paso County. A number of counties invested in ballot on demand printers. Does your software support the run back or what, Elke data printers?
So in Denver, they actually already had a couple from the run back printers. We were able to drive those. They're using the 931s. So our system works seamlessly with that. And then we also work with the Okidata 331. That's a lower cost, smaller model. If you don't have the kind of traffic that you need a 931, you don't want to spend the expense. The 331 is like $300, $350. So it works with both. Yeah.
So also, we did do Runbeck in particular in Mesa County as well. We do a lot of mobile printing with other vendors across various states. So for example, state of New Mexico, we work with a company called AES and Robis. So we have done that time and time again. We will need to qualify their ballots, because it's very important to us to make sure that the ballots can run through the system properly. It's critically important. But beyond that one-time process, we can work with many vendors.
And then with respect to UOCAVA, contrast the current process that's used in Colorado with your process. What is the additional characteristics to secure that ballot? Is that ballot encrypted when it's sent back? Is the server that receives that ballot, is that encrypted? What characteristics have you added to your system to give greater security that the voter on that end knows that we received that exact same ballot? Is there something that's transmitted back to them that they get a receipt that shows them what we had seen and what we adjudicated?
No, and that's a voter privacy concern. So let's start with the data transfer. So we're not receiving any electronic vote data from a UOCAVA voter. That's actually prohibited by FFAB. We secure and encrypt all data going to the voter. So when they make their selections, the server, it's encrypted, it's blinded. There's no way to be a man in the middle attack and know what selections they're making. This is done securely with the PDF creation of that ballot that eventually gets delivered to them. We've secured all of those channels. Again, it's not vulnerable to any middle and man attacks. We host this solution in a completely redundant data center. They're on actually two different grids. It's a high security environment. So the voter, when they get that data, by law, by statute, they have to print that ballot out and either fax it or mail it or email it. And that ballot itself, you know, if you remember what it looked like, it's got a little barcode there and a text representation of the cast vote. There is encryption and security data within that that we can use to validate the vote.
And then in your VSPC application, is that ImageCastX?
ImageCastX.
Is the communication between the tablet and the printer, is that hard cabled or wireless or both?
It's hard cabled.
Okay.
Hard cabled only.
And then on the MARC technology, the known good and the known not good, can you pull out those images, say, I want to see all those images on that race that were unknowns that I could look at what the pattern or the ones that it was unable to determine?
Yeah, that's part of the adjudication module. So, and not only can you pull those images out, but you can set those levels too. So that lower and upper threshold that define what's not a vote, what's an ambiguous mark, and what is a vote, you can set those levels dynamically. We obviously have some recommended settings. In a statewide implementation, I would highly suggest that we all agree upon a set level and make sure that every county is using the same.
And that's what we've done in all of our state,
yeah,
previous state implementations, Louisiana, New Mexico. We have defined those levels, and those are the levels that we're using based on state requirements.
And our adjudication module, it can be set to look at anything that's an ambiguous mark. And you have to do that in a vote-by-mail situation. Our ballot audit module would be further enhanced to do more audit-level review of those ballots as well.
Teek Simonton, hi. Two questions and a comment. First question, in Eagle County in this last election, we only had, I think, two people vote on our machines at the polling places. So my question is, with your system, and if they were using a ballot marking device and the ballot printed out, is that exactly the same as what we're issuing in mail ballot format?
No, it's not. It's not the same. It's a reduced ballot. So my guess is your next question is privacy concerns there. In that case, from a procedural aspect, you could still, if you have two voters, you could duplicate those ballots similar to your current process. So yes, okay. They are the ballots that go out to mail ballot recipients. You know, you saw the image of it. It's a standard ballot. It's got ovals that you fill in. What comes out of the VSPC solution, the ImageCastX, is a reduced ballot with a barcode and a text representation of the ballot.
Okay. Second question, and I asked the other vendor as well, are the enhancements to the certification and any upgrades to the operating platform included in the annual maintenance?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And the third comment is, looking at your cost proposal, I have no idea what I'm looking at. It is very difficult to discern. It seems like there are different classification titles for the different types of, you know, hardware has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then some of the other things have 1.1, 1.2, 1.3. So, you know, Clear Ballot actually did a really nice job of just giving me a very quick look at, you know, approximately what are we looking at in a medium county with three VSPCs. I mean, we're you know, obviously the timeline is extremely tight, right? We've already submitted our budgets, every county clerk has. And for trying to figure out for those counties that are going to be doing this in 2016, if we're way off the mark or somewhat close, obviously there's variables. But and I know that the Secretary of State request gave you some of the format, but we need help figuring out, you know.
Understood.
What does this
so,
look like?
Equally on our side, trying to take our cost tables, if you will, and our pricing and how we cost and price and marginalize things, it was very difficult for us to map back to certain requirements because that's not necessarily how we would install it or how we would regionalize things or something like that. So we struggled a bit with putting it back into the tables. What we can do, and we'll have to get some direction and clarification from you, is to break it down by those types of scenarios. So County X, here's the solution. County Y, here's the solution, and cost it appropriately. That's we have that information. That's how we did it to build it, but we just didn't we weren't comfortable mapping it back. So I think some of the confusion is there. But if you look at the cost tables, you'll see like 10 tables that are blank, and then you'll see one line that says ImageCast X. So when you look at the ImageCast X, it's the same price for an ImageCast X for any county. So we can clean that up and provide it back. It's one of those scenarios we have to talk
about. This is Dwight at the Secretary of State's office. The intent in requesting it in this format was to be able to define six separate county tiers and from based on historical election data, derive an average county, which doesn't much matter for each individual county because any county can have more VSPCs than are required. Would you? Yeah, if you would pass that down. Excuse me. But what it does do by kind of asking the providers to work within those pigeonholes, if you will, it gives us the ability to derive a statewide estimate for implementation, which is not going to be exact because clerks always have the ability to deviate. But having reviewed now all the cost proposals from all the vendors, we need to go back, follow up, and we will prepare a compilation so that we can put these people up one next to the other, which is the hardest thing to do. So we're working on that.
And so when we looked at our pricing and our costing, so when we looked at an ICX, we didn't break it down by you need, you know, this cable plus this switch plus this card plus whatever. So when you see our pricing for an ICX system, it's the entire price for everything that one county would need to run one VSPC. So that's how we costed it in terms of the modeling, and we can certainly provide it in any way. We tried to make it simple to say, if you bought one unit, that one unit costs this, and it's an entire VSP solution. If you bought one Canon scanner, it's one solution. If you bought the adjudication module. So we have the data, and we can provide it in any format.
Sure.
So. Donato?
I appreciate your honesty when you were talking about you've been to five states in the last week, and I really appreciate that. But my concern is if you're selling to other states also, they like Colorado's model, they like what we're doing, that concerns me that how about support here in Colorado? That's my concern, that my counties have that support.
So the code base that we're talking about that is for Colorado that submitted in January is an isolated code base. It is only for Colorado. So whether Michigan or California or Florida or anybody wants the ICX system, it does not impact that timetable whatsoever. That code base is isolated. Now, when we start talking about 5.1 in 2017 and those timelines now take this code base and we move it to the 5.01. So it's an iterative process. It's not like we scrap this code and start over and start working on Michigan or anything like that. This code base for Colorado becomes the code base for 5.0. So we're not going back. And in terms of services and support, I'll let Mike talk about it.
So a couple things. The people that Waldeep was visiting this week, and just in terms of overall support, that doesn't necessarily mean we're selling next year this particular system. Having said that, it is an important question, and I think you should look at that across all the vendors that you're looking at, because next year is a 2016 presidential election year. So does the vendor have the depth and breadth to support this kind of installation as well as their core customer base? As I stated earlier, we have 200 permanent employees. We have several contractors who are elections specialists. They are not people from other industries who are going to hire on to do Colorado. The Colorado team in particular, Colorado's very lucky. You have the benefit of us being down the street. I think if you talk with Mesa and if you talk with Denver, that benefit was tangible. That is not just some sort of selling point. It's real. When Eric had to go down and do something, he took 10 minutes and went down and did it. When Janice had to go to Mesa, she was in Mesa, in a 4-hour drive. That's real. And our literally our customer hub, as well as our corporate headquarters, is here. We have 15 employees. Not all of them are in support, but 15 employees that we utilize directly in Colorado, and then all the other support infrastructure that we have. Fortunately, the good news is for you, maybe not so much for us, is many people tend to not install in a presidential election year. So we do not have any reservations that we don't have the support structure to not only do the 24, we feel we could do the 64 if that is given to us.
I appreciate that. I do know that throughout the country, election equipment is at the max on the time that it's serving the counties or the municipalities, whatever. So that was my concern. I just want to make sure we have that kind of support. And you're absolutely right. We need to ask every body that is presenting here today the same question, and we have been.
And thanks. With respect to some of the states I obviously visited earlier in the week and over the last year, so I'll take Michigan as an example. We have two dealers in Michigan that provide all the support to all the counties in Michigan. So we have a dealer network that expands our breadth and scope far beyond what we have as well. So just because we are focusing on a state from a sales perspective doesn't mean that it necessarily takes resources from our pool.
Hi, this is Dwight from the Secretary of State's office. I had several questions. Number one, on the VSPC solution, the ImageCast X, a concern I have about that is that it is currently configured to operate with a server via Cat5 cables. So the tablet is communicating with a laptop, which is then communicating. Excuse me. We have more of those.
We're supposed to do that. That throw you off, right? Five more times.
Just if people on the webcast are interested, I just spilled my coffee all over the table. Give us just a sec. In any event, so the voter uses the device. The device communicates with the server to effectively generate a PDF. The server then sends that PDF to the paired printer. And my concern about that is setup is a little more elaborate. I watched Jimmy Flanagan, who is here with us today from Denver, set up a VSPC. Jimmy is extremely adept and he can do that. The thought of giving a layperson election judge, which some counties really must do, and say, set this up in a VSPC, concerns me. And I know that when we talked earlier in the temporary approval campaign, Dominion has stated repeatedly that its desire is to get to the point where the ballot styles are actually loaded onboard the tablet, so the communication with the server would no longer be required in a VSPC. Can you tell me where your development is on that?
So I'll let Eric talk about the technical piece, and I'll talk about the pragmatics on why.
Yeah, so I gave you our roadmap really for the immediate future, and that really is the January timeline, what we're going to resubmit for certification for implementation across the state this year. Our next development cycle is roughly June of 2016. And that roadmap for June 2016, that release will have the standalone operation where, yes, the data is resident on the tablet itself. Keeping in mind, understanding we'll still offer both solutions, wired and standalone, because there are efficiency gains outside of the actual setup process, which may be a little more difficult, but there are significant efficiency gains by keeping it in that sort of tethered configuration from a pre-lat standpoint, from a data loading standpoint, delivery standpoint. So there are other efficiencies that should also be considered in that. But again, we're about flexible solutions. So we will have that available. It's on the roadmap. It's in development right now.
And so when you say that is in the June 2016 development cycle, what does that mean as far as federal testing?
It would go into federal testing June plus one day.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So it's due to be completed in June of 2016. Okay. Thank you.
And with that, so the feedback that we've received with respect to the jurisdictions that we've spoken to, that feedback has been not on having a more traditional DRE per se, and so we've done it this way for a reason, obviously. And there are, like Eric said, a balance of security and efficiency. So right now, they're only having to do their LNA, true LNA, on the laptop because that's where everything resides. So in a standalone configuration, your LNA now goes to each of those tablets. So there's a balance there in terms of where you want to fall. We can fall either way. The current configuration is this. Our software license will allow you to get the 5.0 release as part of that license. And if you wanted it in a standalone configuration, software.
Okay. Just one other question kind of about two of your supplemental products, I guess. Both election night reporting and the electronic ballot delivery, the UOCAVA system. as you know, in this initiative, the Secretary has made it very clear that he wants to enable the counties that want to move quickly to do that, but he also doesn't want to force counties who don't want to do that or can't afford it to move. So for an extended period of time here, we are going to be supporting our legacy systems and the new system. And my question is, has your election night reporting system and your electronic ballot delivery system, have those platforms ever been used to support ballots from a different provider? Because if we were to implement you on a statewide basis, you would have to support the ESNS legacy system, Premier, Hart, et cetera, Sequoia.
On what platform?
That's a complicated question. Yes, we've done some integration, and we've certainly done some integration with the Sequoia products and the Premier products. From a practical standpoint, we've got tight integration between Democracy Suite and the Sequoia WinADS system. We've got data translators front and back, right? So we can go either direction from election definition to tally data. On the Premier side, we have tight integration with like the auto the AutoMark, so we can integrate it at that level. Beyond that, we haven't really looked in depth in those kind of. I mean, we haven't because we haven't needed to, but we do have experience integrating with other legacy systems. Certainly, the ones we currently control IP for.
Okay.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it certainly doesn't exist right now.
Okay, thanks,
Jennifer.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Levin with Disability Law Colorado, so I'm going to ask a few questions about the accessibility of the in-person voting equipment. Do you know, and we had a tester come and test in Denver, and he was blind, and so he had a lot of good feedback about the equipment there. One of the concerns he had was the ability to speed up or slow down the audio without assistance from a judge. And I was just wondering if that's something you could take.
Oh, yeah, I left that off the list. That's all part of that enhanced ADA capability. So first off, the speeding up, slowing down, and the volume control unassisted, that's actually a VVSG requirement. We didn't have that in the initial pilot. Again, we're talking six-month timeline. It does exist now because we will be subject to a full VVSG compliance. So that does exist. And you have actually access, unassisted access, to all of the sort of environmental controls of the tablet at this point. And that will be available in January. So it's not coming down the line. It's there now. So audio speed, audio levels, privacy screen, you know, turning the display on and off, all of that could be done unassisted at this point.
Okay, great. And what? And how about someone who is visually impaired privacy for the screen? Like, how would you provide privacy for that? Because obviously they can't turn the screen off.
Well, they can turn it off through the handset with the audio feedback, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I meant hearing impaired.
Hearing impaired.
So, yeah.
Well, if they're hearing impaired, there are options on the screen that are, I mean, as a standard voter, as a non-accessible voter, I can turn the screen off. It would make it really hard for me to continue voting, but you can do that.
There would be privacy for someone who had to have the screen on.
Yes.
Available.
Yeah. Just, yeah. Well, privacy from that point, I mean, we do have voting booths, so we do have privacy booths from that level.
Okay.
So they exist at several levels.
Okay.
So you're, just so I'm clear, so currently the privacy is per the booth, if you will, the sidewalls and stuff like that. Are you looking at, for example, something that hangs on the tablet itself, something of that nature?
Do you have something like that? I know, like, in the polling centers, we would expect a booth to be not facing the public or
Understood.
Something like that, you know, just making sure
Understood.
People aren't seeing.
Yeah, I mean, that's and some of the partners that we've talked about actually have a lot of that already. But, yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay.
In the pilot that we've done, we've used this booth. I'm sorry. I thought I was loud enough. Steve Bennett.
So in both pilots, we've utilized this booth for privacy. So it's a matter of your setup and your positioning for the privacy.
Right, okay. Let's see. Do you have any voter outreach training for just the public in general, like available to them? Because I know that a lot of people have trouble using the equipment if they're a first-time user, so something that would be available to the public, not just poll workers?
Yes, we do. And certainly we can provide that. One of the things that you've probably noticed throughout our campaign here over the last year is that we have a couple people dedicated specifically to marketing and outreach and things of that nature. So, in fact, in Denver, we worked closely with their PR department to say, okay, what do things need to look like? What do manuals need to look like? What outreach can we do with you? So, yeah, usually that's tailored to the jurisdiction. So we have generic manuals and things of that nature, but as part of the install, we actually get in and say, okay, how do we tailor these documents to you specifically? So.
Okay.
And also, if we had that slide back up and you can expand it, one of the subcategories on there is we will have a voter outreach specialist specifically for the state of Colorado underneath the state project manager. So that was one of the bubbles of people who are going to be part of this project. We'll have a print specialist for ballot on demand as well as commercial printers, and we'll have a voter outreach specialist as well.
Okay, and just one more question. The toggle that you have over here, I'm seeing just the one has the Braille on it.
Yes.
Correct. Do y'all have one that's more tactile without the Braille, but just like a shaped button, you know?
So that goes to our development road path. So one of our current systems has an ATI, audio tactile interface, and it's not currently enabled to drive the ImageCast X, but by the June development timeline, that will be included as well. So the idea here with the ImageCast X was really to support more of a bring your own device. And we didn't get into the details, but we have an off-the-shelf assistive device that allows 1, 2, and 9 switch inputs. So paddles, sip and puff, whether they're 1 or 2 switch, and the 9-pin connectors that are common on electric wheelchairs. That's a standard interface. We provide that. We provide a couple of those devices for each VSPC, but then the idea is an assisted voter comes in that has their own device. They can plug directly into that. But the next phase would be to offer our own ATI that we currently have that we've developed with the accessibility community, and that would be supported as well. And that is more of, you know, shaped buttons with Braille directly on the buttons, with dedicated buttons right on that ATI device for speed control and volume levels as well. So again, that is on the roadmap. It won't be in January, but it will be in June.
Okay, thank you.
This is Clarissa Thomas, and just to wrap up, I'm going to ask you the standard question. First of all, thank you for your participation in the pilot election process. And for wrap up, as I asked the previous vendor, what can you do and tell us and the voters to ensure that your process and your equipment ensures integrity of the process of elections?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of levels to that. So from a fundamental data aspect. We designed security into this system from the ground up. It's not a cover that we put on after. So at every access point, at every interface point, from a code basis, data is encrypted, data is signed. And beyond that, though, we've got the data. We've talked endlessly about the transparency and the auditability of this system. So from the very first interaction that a voter has with whatever the tabulation device is, all the way through the final reports and state exports, we can track and correlate every electronic cast vote record to the physical paper, to the images, and to the audit mark that show how the devices actually interpreted that vote when they were scanned. So, I mean, there's no more transparency available in any system out there than this one right here.
Committee members, thank you, Dominion.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, and thanks. And I'm going to say this to all the providers because I really mean it. This was a huge lift all the way across, and your people did just an excellent job supporting the counties, which is the most important thing when you conduct a pilot election in an actual election. So heartfelt thanks for
your efforts. Thank you very much. Appreciate the time.
Okay, this is Dwight Shellman again at the Secretary of State's office. We are running just a little bit behind our schedule. And where's the notice? Oh. So we had planned a 45-minute lunch. Why don't we go ahead and do that now? I'm going to shave it down 5 minutes, if we could. So let's reconvene here so we can start again at 1:15. And that way we'll just be 15 minutes behind. So we'll see you back at 1:15. Thank you so much.